Right now it is time for our good friends at the BerkshireEdge.com. You can find the Berkshire Edge at the BerkshireEdge.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But they join us once a week, and we take a look at just a fraction, some of the stories that they've got, that they're covering at the BerkshireEdge.com. And let's bring in both of David and Marcy right now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi.
This seems to be the season of fires, doesn't it?
Yeah, well,
we
had the one yesterday that we're going to start off talking about, but we also had that other. I mean, you've had a couple of big fires up there that have affected. I'll say landmarks up in the South County area, but the first one that we'll talk about is the one that happened at the Aston Magna Estate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Aston Magna Estate. There is a house called Aston Magna, and it was the owner of that house that first started the Aston Magna Music Festival, which takes place every summer, and was carried on by the current owner, Lee Elman, who actually has owned that house for many years, and that is quite an interesting old house. But luckily, it was luckily for Lee Elman, not for his next-door neighbor. It was not Lee's house that burned, which we originally thought, but it was another house on the property, which, of course, is equally as interesting, but not as storied. So that was lucky. Luckily, the people who live in that house were there and were able to get out. Otherwise, you know, if it were an unoccupied house, probably would have burned down completely.
Yeah, it was quite a crew of mutual aid from various towns all converged on this estate, which is kind of located in the woods, actually. It's a remote location, and they were able to save the building anyways.
You know, what's interesting about all of this is we're so concerned about our area and living in our area, the affordability. The first responders, who are 99.9999999% of volunteers, go out on mornings like this and afternoons like this, where it's bitter cold, where it's wintertime, and they're there no matter what. And it's a problem sooner or later that we're going to have to face down the road. But we're very lucky to have our first responders that we have that respond to these fires.
Yep, that's true, and they are. I mean, I think that they have quite an esprit de corps, you know, and they're very proud of the work they do.
Even as
volunteers, and they're quite good at it.
Yeah. Well, they also need more volunteers, though. So anybody who would like to volunteer, I'm sure, would be very welcome.
Yep.
Well, it's one of those it's just one of those things that we have to, you know, and especially it always happens, it seems it always happens in the early winter. It just you know, with old houses, it just things go wrong and once again you have a fire. Well, we'll change off from the fire now and go to the opposite, and that is a new short-term rental market for, now I love this term, quote, shared estates, end quote.
Yeah, so it's a you know, well, that's what it is. I mean, this is a company that is buying old Berkshire estates, Berkshire cottages and homes that really nobody wants to buy anymore because the upkeep is too high or they're too big. This is a very interesting group that is combining real estate development with a real sense of community service and community preservation, because they are buying up these old estates, they're renovating them into short-term rentals, finding that there's great demand for them. You know, they're very luxurious and beautiful rental spaces that accommodate about 10 to 15 people at a time, they have discovered from their previous history, you know, their experience doing this, that there are lots of like family groups that want to come together, and although the price might seem high for a rental if you're just a couple, when you've got 15 people splitting the rental price, it becomes really quite affordable, and it's really an event and an experience. And they, you know, they're rebuilding these old houses with environmentally conscious construction, and they are renaming them. This one is being named. This one is in Sheffield, and it's being named for Elizabeth Freeman, who was the slave who sued for her freedom. She was the first slave in Massachusetts to sue for her freedom, and she got a very distinguished lawyer to support her, and she won. And her name had been Mum Bett, and she changed her name to Elizabeth Freeman after she got her freedom. And so they're calling this house in Sheffield the Freedom Estates. And the other thing that's interesting is that they are raising money locally. I mean, they are asking people for, people can invest for as little as, I think, $1,000. And they expect to give a very good return on investment because their previous experience has been that these places make money. So they are trying to spread it around and allow local residents to participate, which is smart in a number of ways. Obviously, it also means that there's, you know, there will be community involvement in case anyone objects to placing a, you know, a commercial property in a residential area. They'll have a lot of local support, but they also feel that, you know, they don't want just outsiders coming in and investing in these places. That they want some local buy-in and some, you know, some local pride and participation. So I find this a very interesting company, Shared Estates, and it's an article worth reading.
All right. I just found the term shared. I still found that the term shared estates just a unique term.
Yes, well, but that is a fact. In fact, what it is, these will be shared estates. I mean, shared in the financing and shared in the living.
Well, it's people do, share condos that they purchase. If they live in the city and they have a place that they can vacation at in the Berkshires, and a number of people go in and buy them, so kind of expanding on that idea, and using one of these historic cottages, as we used to call them, they're called.
And, you know, many of these cottages have been converted. They've been converted into hotels. And Canyon Ranch, for example, is a beautiful old estate with a wonderful gatehouse, right on the road, that's been turned into, a spa. So many of these houses, which no one wants to live in anymore because they're too expensive to maintain.
Well, who has the personal staff?
Well, exactly.
Well, that's the...
That's right. And, they used to send the servants up ahead to open up the house before the family arrived. I mean, it required a whole staff.
Yeah, so these are the days of Elizabeth Wharton,
Edith Wharton
and Henry James and those people, that was the elegant wealthy.
Yes.
All right, we will move on to story number three, and this is pretty interesting, actually, and that is maybe you can't go to Tanglewood or Symphony Hall or like that, but you can. The streaming options are still there.
Well, they are.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, the Boston Pops Orchestra is as they say, making merry through the holiday season, and you can stream their concerts, which I find that this is very interesting about the these venues being very resourceful about maintaining their presence and their offerings, which people, you know, enjoy so much during, especially during the holidays. By the way, I have a side delight with this story, and that is we published with the story a picture of an old 45 record. An RCA Victor, remember that label?
RCA Victor.
And it was Leroy Anderson playing with the Boston Pops, playing the Leroy Anderson Sleigh Ride song, with Arthur Fiedler conducting. That dates it quite a bit. But I can remember having these old 45s, which dates me, I suppose. But
I remember they were so breakable, too.
They were. But in any case.
You know, the other aspect of this story about the Boston Pops is that they actually did record the orchestra together in one place, but safely distant. I mean, if you look at this article, you'll see that the musicians on the stage were all 6 feet apart, and they also recorded a piece of this in an outdoor stadium in the cold, so that they could, the musicians could actually play together, which is a joy for them and something that they've missed. I also want to talk a little bit, and we haven't put up an article yet, but Close Encounters with Music, which is the organization that I chair, it's a chamber music group that has a summer festival called Berkshire High Peaks Festival, planning a High Peaks reunion on January 3rd, 4th, and 5th, which will all be on Zoom. People are finding very resourceful ways. I mean, this is going to be, you know, students and faculty and some lectures, but it will be a reunion of all the people who participated in the High Peaks Festival last summer, which was also on Zoom. So it seems like here are two sides of the story. One, the BSO has brought people together at some distance to play together, and then there are the concerts on Zoom, where the musicians, you know, it's very difficult. Close Encounters discovered that you really cannot play ensemble pieces on Zoom because there's too much delay, and they can't play together. But so the organizations that are performing on Zoom are really being very innovative about how people collaborate when they can't really be playing together. So I recommend both of them. I mean, we do have ads up for the High Peaks Festival on the Edge, and it's on the Edge calendar as well.
Well, we were contacted a couple of days ago about some people within your organization about possibly playing some of the recorded concerts that have been recorded.
Yes.
And so we responded very quickly. Well, yes, we'd love to add that, especially to our Monday evening, which is we lead into a classical evening with Music Mountain. We'd love to have those. And so
the Close Encounters concert.
And they're going to get back to us and see if we can work something out.
Well, isn't that interesting? I knew nothing about it.
Well, it was a couple of patrons that contacted us. They like our programming, and they spoke to somebody, and they said, yeah, well, I ask them, and we just think it's a great idea.
Close Encounters has done 4 live concerts from the stage of the Mahewi with audiences of about 6 people, and they have been, they're on the Close Encounters with Music YouTube channel, so if anybody goes to YouTube/Close Encounters with Music, and these are, you know, these are terrific concerts with, you know, 2, 3, and but there were 4, but there was actually a chamber music group that played together with masks, and they're wonderful concerts, really. I mean, I know I'm prejudiced, but I mean, this is a group that's been operating for 28 years. I have not been present the whole time. But, you know, we get 300 and 400 people at a chamber music concert when we play live. So they must be doing something right.
I was going to say you're doing something right. All right. Well, we move on from that, and year-end reviews. This is something I try to stay away from, especially this year, because the reviews are always depressing. I mean, here's my year-end review. January, it was cold. February, March, April, May, June, July, lockdown. August, September, October, November, December, waiting for the vaccine. There we go.
Yeah, and lockdown. Lockdown, yeah. Too. Jeez. We better move along because we've got several more stories. Yeah.
When are you going to run your reviews?
Oh, we are.
Yes.
We have a series of them, and one of them is that we mentioned this time, this week, is Charlie Ferris, who's a lawyer in town, has written this Highlights and Lowlights of the American Judicial System. And he's quite an amusing writer, and it's the judicial, from the judicial side of things, that he's that he writes, and it's quite an amusing article about summing up the events of for example, the great downfall of the Trump administration. So, he's quoting Sir Thomas More, and he kind of makes this the story of a man for all seasons into his story about the United States, and it's quite interesting. So, we commend that one.
Although,
by the way, we will have some point this week of a summary of the events of the Berkshires, too. So
yeah,
that's coming up.
It's the Berkshire Edge, you know, what happened in the Berkshires that
yeah.
we reported on.
Year by year, the whole year.
Month
yeah.
by month. Right?
Yep.
All right, well, let's go on to Carol Owens.
Oh, our columnist, Carol Owens, yes. Yeah, She's terrific, and
every Tuesday,
and she has, I must say, she has a fantastic archive of clippings of that she writes these historical articles that look back at events and trends and so on in the Berkshires, and her clip file, you might say, is just fantastic. And this time she's looking, she's sifting through the archives to explain how the Berkshires celebrated the new year in the past. And it's quite interesting. So we commend that to our listeners to see how people used to celebrate the new year.
David, it looks like you put the same story twice on the next story. Is the shared estate story?
Oh, did I? Okay. Well, sorry about that.
Well, it's okay.
Yeah, let's talk about it again.
No, what we could talk about, and I can do this. We've got about 4.5 minutes left. Is that I look back over the year as a local media, and yes, for one of the first times in my history as a local broadcaster, a national story dominated the local news, and that national and international story, of course, is COVID-19. It's very rare that as local media, your local media is dominated on a day-to-day basis by something that's national and international. That's the big story to me this year, is that, and that national and international story affected us right down here in local towns throughout the United States and the world, and that normally doesn't happen with local media coverage.
Right.
That's true. But it's been quite a lot. You know, it makes life is quite, it's full of anxiety right now, you know. It's
Well, you know, we always have, like, the elections every 4 years, the national elections. Yes, that affects us. There's lots of things that happen nationally, 9-1-1, other things like that, that affect us. But on a daily basis, to be just weighed down by this pandemic, like I said, it's just... And the pandemic, even though it's not local, is local because it affects every one of our lives. It's just, you know, it's just, I'll call it a unique time. It's not necessarily bad, but it's just a very unique year that I think we'll all look back on in 10, 15 years and just shake our head and say, wow.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. I mean, it's sort of like 1968, you know, which, I mean, it's the other year that stands out, you know, where there were assassinations and demonstrations, and, you know, that was, you know, an incredible year. But this is even a more disturbing year.
Well, when you consider that Vietnam weighed down this country locally as well as nationally, and only 55,000 Americans lost their lives, and now we're looking at something where we're approaching 360,000. So you can say it's been a very unique year, and maybe it's a year that will start us all off afresh, really, in 2021, hopefully with a better outlook. And with maybe a better outcome, you know?
Well, my year is beginning on January 20th at noon. You know, that is when I think we have a hope for a better new year, when we can be done with this chaos.
It's
grandstanding. I mean, you know, this government, and, you know, as evidenced by this past weekend's shenanigans, I mean, this president is all about putting on a show, and I'm tired of the show.
Well,
I think we all are.
You know, it's interesting.
We want a government again, not a TV show.
Ronald Reagan put on a show, but
yes,
one thing I'll say, during his presidency, things happened between Democrats and Republicans.
That's right.
The government didn't shut down, and the country did grow. So, you know, whether you agreed with Ronald Reagan or not, it's not a question because it's a conservative person or a liberal person.
No, it's not.
It's a question as how the government and the other branches of government all interact to keep our country going and moving ahead.
Right.
And that has not happened with the Congress, the Senate, the judicial, the presidency.
And all of the government agencies, the EPA, the CDC, the National Institutes of Health. I mean, they have all been politicized to a degree that we've never seen before. The Department of Education. I mean, you just go through them all. I mean, I don't know what's happened in housing and urban development. Agency that we've heard nothing about over the past 4 years, good or bad, and at least it would have been nice to hear something good.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens over the course of the next year.
The Department of State, the Judicial Department. I mean, these have all been, you know, really ruined in only 4 years. I shudder to think what would have happened if we'd had four more.
Well, we'll see what happens, and we'll speak to you guys next year.
Yes, next year. So Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and we'll speak to you.
It's got to be better than the last one. So.
All right, well, we'll speak to you next week. Have a good New Year's,
too.
Guys.
Bye.
Okay.
Take
care. Bye-bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air. You can find them at theberkshireedge.com.